Hey everybody, how you doing? This is Ray Gage from Truth Brothers Radio, giving you the best of Truth Brothers Radio. Tonight's episode will be We Are Trayvon Martin, perhaps one of our best episodes. Check it out.
Blog Talk Radio.
Call is 818-514-1202, 818-514-1202.
And as always, you will be able to hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net, and truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
As always, you know, we're standing by on Facebook for your comments and questions, and we're also downloadable on iTunes. Hey, everybody.
And let's not forget, we're going to have our chat room open on Blog Talk right now. So in case you wanted to hit us up on our Blog Talk and, you know, join in on the conversation that we will have today, which will be a deep one.
That's right.
We want you to please give us your thoughts and anything that you wanted to do on our Blog Talk. Our chat room will be open.
And, of course, that voice you heard was our producer, Supreme Candace.
What's up, Candace? How you feeling?
Okay.
02. So some move, but you know. Real somber mood, but you know, everybody cool. Everybody for the ready everybody. For this. We ready for this show?
Yes, we are. I know that was a long intro. We normally don't do that, but this is a very, very special occasion, and that song was so apropos to the situation.
Yeah. Today we in case you don't know right now, we will be the topic of today is I am Trayvon Martin, and in a sense, we all are Trayvon Martin. We all. What happened to him was a tragedy, and it could have happened to anybody. And the fact that it happened to such a young man who, I mean, just has the – he's an ideal kid. He's a good kid. Nothing – he had no priors, no nothing, and this tragedy happened to him. We have to discuss this. It's a reason that this is in mainstream media right now because – this is an injustice.
This is the hottest topic in America right now. And, of course, the Truth Brothers is going to be right in the middle of it. So, again, as we put up on our page, we want everybody's input on this. This affects everybody.
No doubt.
This could be your child. I love what the president said when he said, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin.
Right. Exactly.
This could be anybody.
Yeah. And throughout the first hour, we will be, you know, we're going to talk about other injustices like Trayvon, situations that, you know, that either got swept under the rug or people aren't really talking about it right now. But we will discuss this as well. But, I mean, we want everybody to sit back and enjoy the show as much as you possibly can. Definitely, you know, just give your feedback. You know,
Right.
I know a lot of people are outraged about the situation, and I know a lot of people feel very strongly about what happened and everything. And we're going to get into all of that. We want everybody to, you know, say what you mean and, you know, whatever. And we also have two special guests that will be coming on later on in the show.
That's right.
Both have something to do with law enforcement. So let's just go ahead, you know, and buckle down and get ready for the show.
And before you get into the B-days and all your messages.
Right.
This is going to be a very different show. You won't be hearing any of our usual commercials.
Right.
You won't be hearing too many other different sound effects. This is a somber mood, and we're trying to keep it appropriate.
No doubt. As well as it should be. I mean, to even let's just start this off with what we're going to do. We got to say what's up to Jamila Thompson, Monet Lachey. Those are both people that just friends of the True Brothers page, and you know, basically because of what we were talking about today, and we wanted to say thank you. We appreciate you for this. Also, we got to say condolences to the family of John Patton, the president of NAACP Legal Defense Fund. He died at 65. I think it was yesterday. Got to say, give a shout out to my boy Anthony Davis, AD23. He beat him in Kentucky, beat Indiana yesterday. They're on their way to the Elite Eight to face Baylor tomorrow. So good luck to you, bro. I know you're going to do what you do. Not enough said with that. And on to DJ's B-Days, we got Casherelle Patrick, Nicole Turner-Banks, and Sheila Jackson all celebrated birthdays this week. And that will be the end of that. But to get back to what we was talking about earlier, I mean, I was saying that we was going to discuss certain injustices. And when I first heard about the Trayvon situation, the first thing that actually popped in my head was what happened with Sean Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you guys didn't know, Sean Bell was a 23-year-old who was killed by the NYPD in 2006 because the officer said they believed Bell and his friends were armed when they began shooting into their car. The officer and the fact that all the officers involved were acquitted on all charges.
Right. And this is the man that was on his bachelor party.
Yeah.
This is the night of his bachelor party, the night before he gets married.
Yeah. To his, and if you've seen any of the pictures that they had, all the pictures that they put up with Sean Bell was him and his then fiance. You know, I don't think that they had her name, but I think it was Nicole Paltry or something like that, but I don't want to say her name wrong or nothing like that, but, you know, and I just recently heard that the two of the officers were supposed to get released from the NYPD, but this is 2012, and you do it right around the time that what happened to Trayvon. Now you want to go ahead and do
well,
this.
Well, I don't think one has anything to do with the other. Whatever this guy is getting released for has probably nothing to do with either case. He probably.
Just a weird sense of irony, man.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That could very well be true.
Exactly.
But the fact that, you know, you kill a guy, a 23-year-old man, you know, and you kill this guy, and you turn around and you get acquitted of all charges. Like nothing, you're brought up on charges, but none of them stick.
Nothing.
And the fact that in New York they had a slight riot, you know,
they avoided it. Just like I'm very proud that they're avoiding it down there in Florida.
Yeah.
This is not the time to go ham down there. Do not disrespect the family and their wishes by going down there and venting off your frustrations. You can't do that. If the family is showing discipline and control, we have to show discipline and control.
Absolutely.
And that's what I was going to come back to when we was talking about, I think me and you were talking the other day, and I said the fact that the man's, Trayvon's father has not even, you know, if he hasn't went after this guy, George Zimmerman, nobody should go after this man. That's that man's son.
Exactly.
And if he hasn't done anything to George, it's not our place or in our right to go after him. So let's let the law do what the law is supposed to do. Let's let the grand jury and the FBI, let's let them go and make a case of this, and let's hope and pray that justice is served.
Exactly. Exactly. 818-514-1202. Again, we want everybody's input on this one, so feel free to give us a call. We also have the chat room open. This is the first time we've ever opened up the chat room, so feel free to go in there and let it all out.
Right. And this is if any show is the show I feel anybody should want to throw their opinion out there, because I know people with kids, your child could have been walking down the street, just going to the store.
Exactly.
Your kid could have been going to the park. Your kid could have just been going to school.
Exactly.
And this could have happened to them. So, I mean, we're going to get into other things about that, but we got another story. So, bro, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just like you said. This can happen to anybody. And we're going to spend the first hour talking about Trayvon, but we're also going to be talking about other cases that's happening around the country and in Chicago about that's very similar to this type of case, just to bring the point home that this type of thing can happen to anybody, absolutely anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you was telling me about someone who put something up on the Facebook page saying, how come, you know, why is everybody so concerned about what's going on
in
Florida,
yeah,
and nobody seems to care about what goes on in Chicago, and how come no one's having this outcry, or some of these other people who get killed over senseless things seem to be getting the same media attention? I was on Ramon Garrett's show Thursday.
Big shout out to WLUV.
Right, man, and thank you for having me on, man. That was a real honor to be on your show. And he also brought up the same sentiment that, you know, hey, we having this big cry, what's going on in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at the same time, he was spouting off incidences in Detroit that doesn't seem to get the same type of attention and doesn't seem to get the same type of feel. So we're going to try to spread that around and try to give everybody that same type of attention. And, again, if you got someone out there that this has happened to and you want to give them their due, this is the time, 818-514-1202.
If you feel like that certain injustice has been done to somebody and you feel like people have glossed over it or something seems fishy, there's no harm or shame in calling the Truth Brothers and putting your case out there and letting it be heard. So
that's right.
Bad.
So, yeah, I mean, we know in Chicago that we've had this miraculous, incredible winter. It's been very warm. We just jumped right over the spring and jumped right into summer. We've just had these string of 80-degree days.
Mm-hmm.
And how many shootings was it? How many incidents happened where people got into it and started shooting one another? I mean, that type of thing, man.
It happens all the time, man. And it's a shame that it happened. Like, even to go back to what you said about the comment that was posted to one of our, I mean, to the Truth Brothers page.
Right.
With the young lady who voiced her opinion and saying that, yo, you know, these type of things happen all the time in the Inglewood area and in certain areas. And to say that it's not brought to, I don't want to say mainstream media or whatever, it's just why isn't there a march or whatever for this specific crime. And the only thing I want to say to that really fast is, it's not that nobody doesn't care. I don't think that, you know, people are putting on hoods because they don't care or they think it looks good or whatever like that. I don't think people are doing it for that. I believe it's for a statement, and it's to say to show our awareness and support of Trayvon Martin. But we have to take a really, really quick break. So we'll be back with more Truth Brothers Radio and a dedication to Trayvon Martin.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Yes, the rhythm, the ripple, without a pause, I'm lowering my level. The hard drama, where you never been, I'm in. You want styling, you know it's time to get deep. The enemy telling you to hear it. They praise the music, it's time to play the lyrics. Some say no to the album, the show, but what's the sound? I made a year ago, I get to know.
Hey everyone, it's Candace, producer of Truth Brothers Radio, here to remind you that the show is moving to Monday nights, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, beginning Monday, April 2nd. Your hosts, Ray and Devon, will continue to bring the same flavor, just a different day and time. So after work, sit back, relax, and spend your Monday nights with the Truth Brothers. You can still download archives on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and iTunes. Again, that's Monday, April 2nd. Spread the word.
Hey. Truth Brothers Radio.
Something is wrong with the government in which we live, wrong with the leaders that lead us, wrong with us in the way we respond to our enemy and each other. This nation is not about poor people.
Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back. And, we're talking about what's going on in the city of Chicago. There was a six-year-old girl that was fatally shot in the month of February. And it was just a terrible thing because some guys just showed up in a pickup and just started shooting at the crowd and hit this six-year-old girl, which is absolutely terrible. But get this, when the girl was sent to the hospital, the press started showing up at the hospital. And one of the officers got into it with two of the reporters. It was Dan Ponce from WGN. People in Chicago know of him, and maybe some of you guys who get WGN on the Superstation would know of this guy, and a cameraman. They were arrested and handcuffed and detained by the police for trying to cover the story. And this is the thing that gets me. When the news crew showed up and they got into it with the cops, one of the cops told him, "Your First Amendment rights can be terminated whether you're creating a scene or whatever."
What?
Yeah. Since when did a police officer have the right to suspend your First Amendment rights?
My first question, yeah. Makes no sense to me, but I mean that dude, it's getting to a point, man. It's really getting to a point where I feel with this, especially with this situation. If things aren't handled with extreme care, this can get really, really bad. It can turn really bad really fast because a lot of people are outraged with the fact that Zimmerman and the fact that the police, it seems like they're protecting this man. And for the police now to just protect a person who basically brutally murdered.
They're screwing this thing up to pieces, but they're not protecting him, to speak.
Right.
They're screwing this thing up. Don't get me wrong. When we get more in-depth into it, I got a lot of evidence on how they're screwing it up. But they're not protecting him, per se. You have this law down in Florida, which is the Stand Your Ground law. And the attributes of this law is what's causing the hiccups in this case.
Right.
But here's my thing. My thing with the whole situation is he was a self-appointed neighborhood watchman.
Captain.
Yes.
Self-appointed.
Captain.
Now, oh, captain.
Yeah, see, right.
Wonderful.
I got you.
Now, here's the thing. Now, according to their handbook, credo, or whatever, you are not supposed to be armed. You are not supposed to act as if you were a police officer.
But you can have the they have a conceal and carry law
right.
in the state of Florida, which would trump the supposed rule of a neighborhood watch, even though he wasn't even a part of the neighborhood watch, so the
right.
rule wouldn't even apply to him anyway.
But even still, even with that being said, when he was on the phone with a 911 dispatcher, they told him, do not pursue it. Let it be.
Mm-hmm.
See, Let the police do their job.
I'm trying not to really, you know, get too heated about the situation because, I mean, I'm going to be honest. Again, I tip my hat to that man's family, especially his father, because I don't know if I could handle it as well as he's handling it in front of the media, in front of the press, in front of everybody. I don't know if I can handle it because I look at my son. I look in his eyes. I look at his face, and I can't see me not wanting to attack this dude. And
right.
that's, you know, again, like I said, tip my hat, and I know my actions would be wrong, but I can't, I just, the rage in me would be just ridiculous.
Yeah, real quick. Hey, Tony, we see you in the chat room, and I also see guests 3, 5, 6, 3, 6, 5, 6, 5, 8, and 5, 6, 7, 3. Hey, we're glad you're in the chat room.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of time to get the hang of this because I have a new thing for us.
We did this patient with us. We did this specifically for him. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You were saying something?
I was getting ready to say something in relation to what you were saying. The one thing that I do commend this family on, they haven't had even a chance to grieve over their son yet.
Right.
This has happened almost a month now. But, you know, violence begets violence. And,
true.
You know, the thing about that is, you know, if they were to let their natural emotions take over, you know, this would be an all-out riot.
That's right.
We definitely don't want that.
That's,
we do not want that.
That's what we're saying about if the family is exhibiting this type of discipline and control,
we
have to do the same. You have to respect that family. I don't care how you feel about this fool. You can't
yeah.
take the law into your own hands.
You can't. You're absolutely right, man. But I mean, the fact that this over-glorified hall monitor just came through and brutally murdered this dude. You know what I'm saying? It's not self-defense. It's not, and I don't want to jump into this right now, but it's not self-defense.
Right.
It's not manslaughter. That's first-degree murder. What he did was premeditated
yes.
first-degree murder.
Right.
And, like you say, with
the murder, I mean, I still want to get on some of the incidents that's happening in the city and around the country.
Right.
Because, like I say, I hope the sister that was hollering at us on Facebook is listening to the show.
Yeah.
We definitely invited her to do so.
Right.
And she feels that there's not enough love being spread around
right.
in our own communities. And this is a chance for you to put your two cents in or check out. Because there are a lot of organizations, church organizations, community organizations like Ceasefire
right.
that you can join to be a part of. And it's not necessarily the fact that you don't get a lot of press that's keeping your enrollment down in these groups.
Right. Yeah, exactly. If you don't become an activist, you're not going to be a factor in this. That's just how I feel. And you have to be involved. You can't wait for somebody else to involve themselves for you to do. If something's happening down your street and you're waiting for somebody else to make a call or put the work into it, but you're complaining about it. It's like people who complain about the liquor store that's down the street from their house. Then why are you going down there buying liquor? Stop complaining. Get out, go over there and do something about
right.
it. You don't have to wait for somebody else. You don't have to wait for Jesse or Al. And condolences to Al Falu. I know he lost his mother this week, so True Brothers want to send out a condolences to him as well.
That's right.
But you don't have to wait for them to get involved for other people to get involved. They had a march down in Chicago, and Jesse and the Million Hoodie March. I mean, it was last minute. I don't want to say last minute, but they had it down by the Bean, and over 2,000 people came down to the show.
That's right,
support.
And they weren't worried about whether or not the press was going to
exactly.
be there, or Jesse or anybody. Let me just break something down to you guys real quick. And 909, I do see you. I'm gonna get to you in 1 minute here. I just need to run these facts down. In Chicago, more than 530 people under the age of 21 has been killed since 2008. Many more have been shot and otherwise suffered violence at the hands of their peers,
mm-hmm.
Particularly in the city's African-American and Latino communities. Nearly 80% of youth homicide occurred in 22 black or Latino communities on the city's south side, southwest and west side. Even though just one-third of the city's population resides in those communities, the rate of youth homicides in West Englewood on the city's south side, for instance, was nearly five times higher than the citywide mark. Five times. In contrast, there have been 22 other Chicago communities that have no more than one killing since 2008. Many were located on the city's north side. A lot of people who are not familiar with Chicago, the north side is the predominantly white area
exactly.
of Chicago.
Yeah.
Other communities like Beverly, Garfield Ridge, High Park, that's where the president lives.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Greenwood did not lose any of the youth violence.
Hmm.
But just a few minutes drive down the road, some of the highest homicide rates in Woodlawn, Roseland, and Morgan Park happened there.
Now, here's the
well, I grew up in Morgan Park.
Right.
And so did I. And literally right across the track.
Yeah.
Right and across the tracks between Morgan Park and Beverly.
In Beverly, exactly. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, a lot of times you feel like people aren't weeping for us. You can't expect other people to weep for us if we're not weeping for ourselves.
That's exactly. right.
You can't
That's
expect
right.
George Zimmerman to respect Trayvon when we don't respect ourselves. Your enemy won't be so quick to kill you if you won't be so quick to kill yourself. We got a caller. Let's go ahead and go on with the caller. Hey, caller, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
Oh, this is Tony. How you doing, everybody?
Hey, Tony.
How you doing, Tony?
You know I had to get out on this one.
Oh, that's right.
We figured you would. I knew.
Yeah.
How you doing today?
You got your hoodie on?
You know what? I did my hoodie picture. I did my son and his fiance hoodie picture. And I
nice.
Asked people to take pictures of themselves, post it to my my Facebook page, post it to the show information that I'm going to be doing on Monday in
okay.
honor of Trayvon Martin and this particular situation, because you know what, I truly believe that if you stand in the light of what actually is going on, we can do so much. And I think, I'm not sure who said it earlier, but it was the comment made that we need to start being more involved and get out there and you know, put our foot down on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to stop waiting for
yep.
others
yep.
to do it for us. We have
that's
to stop
right.
waiting for others to be a voice for us.
Yep.
And that's why we've got this situation. If that law had never been put on the books, that's the first thing. If it's something that had been brought on by the legislature and this law had been voted on and they had done the work on it, this law would have never made it to the books. But I think a lot of times we are hiding behind those laws that have been put on the books. But it's
yeah.
up to us. It's up to us to make sure that when the legislature put these things in order, when we've got people lobbying, not only just in Washington, but in our own communities for our state and city and local county government, when these people are lobbying, you need to be out there with your ass right there with them to find out what they are holding in their hands that is going to put you in danger.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know,
and real quick, let's break something down about the Stand Your Ground law in Florida. This law was passed when Jeb Bush was governor. This law was backed by the NRA heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And when they passed this law, it passed with bipartisan support. That means Democrats and Republicans voted for this law. Democrats voted for this law because they did not want to be painted as being weak on crime or not tough on criminals. And because people can be painted with a broad brush like that, or people can be put into these political trick bags, people don't vote their conscience. Mm-hmm. And when you don't vote your conscience, you get laws like this.
Yeah.
Hmm. You're right.
The thing about it is, man, I mean, I'm all for protecting yourself. I'm all for, you know, using necessary force to protect yourself. And by any means, I mean, one of my heroes said, by any means necessary. So if that's the case, fine. But it's so, the thing that irks me about this is, where's the threat to from a 17-year-old boy who's smaller than me? I mean, I'm 6'4", but I have a small frame. And where's the threat that this man proposed to you?
The skin color. That was the only threat.
And the thing about that is, or better yet, you can go to what Geraldo said, that only gang members wear hoodies.
Right, you know, the stereotype of that.
And I'm like, it's raining outside. And that's what's crazy.
What?
He had
it
the hood over his
raining.
Head. Cause
it,
I mean,
did not
of course
have to
it didn't,
be raining.
But it's just
I take offense to what Geraldo had said on this issue. And the reason why, it's not just that he said blacks need to stop wearing hoodies, but he said Latinos need to stop wearing hoodies. Well, hell, we've got soccer moms that wear hoodies.
That's right.
We've got, you know,
you've
we've
got kids that have
hell,
Ohio
I wear
State,
hoodies.
Princeton. What about the Princeton hoodies, the Yale hoodies, the Harvard hoodies? So
yes.
Are those gang member hoodies? Or, I mean, what?
Yes.
I seen the Howard University law students took a great picture outside of Howard University, and all of them had hoodies on. Didn't
yes.
not one of them had Howard on it, but at the same time, they were wearing
yes.
hoodies. Does that
and
make you
gangster? I'm not a gangster.
Right.
I am far yes. from being a gangster. You
yeah.
know, I wear hoodies. Hell, I wear them because I don't want to try and put clothes on to go to the store.
Exactly.
Or, you know,
exactly.
or I want to, you know, get out there and do some shopping, and that's what's comfortable. That does not make me a gangster, a robber. It doesn't make me a thug. It doesn't make me anything. It just makes me a woman, and it doesn't even say that I'm a black woman. It says
that's
that
right.
I am trying to get out and do my thing, and that's what I choose to wear.
That's right. Well, you know what? Let us take a break. We're going to go ahead and get a break in, and when we come back, we're going to talk about other incidents that's happening around Chicago and America, and we'll be back after this break. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Conditions in the world that are produced by real men, but you don't see the real cause
Truth Brothers Radio.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's called The Meaning of the 5% by Brand Nubian.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, man.
Yeah. And for a lot of people who are into the Occupy Wall Street movement, they didn't know it. This is kind of what they're trying to say. This is exactly what they're trying to say. They call it the 1% because they're talking about the super rich. But 10% of this country is the ones that's hogging up the majority of the wealth. And that's the ones who are controlling media and controlling everything that you see, hear, smell, and taste in America right now. So think on that. Real quick, let's talk about something that happened in February 25th in Calumet City. Protesters marched in suburban Calumet City over a police shooting of a teenager with autism.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Heard about that.
100 civic leaders, clergy, and residents marched just like they're doing in Florida. They did it in Chicago. On February 1, police officers was called to the home of 15-year-old Stephen Watts, who suffered from Asperger's syndrome. When police say Watts charged them with a weapon, the two officers each fired a shot.
I don't want to cut you off real quick, but did you ever find out what that weapon was? Because I did.
Okay, what was it?
A butter knife.
There it is.
A butter knife.
There it is, because he had
in
marker.
Front of his dad. In front of his dad, though. Yeah, the man was shot.
And they said they were fearful. The two officers said they were fearful for their lives.
Yeah.
Just like Zimmerman said, he was fearful for his life. He's got 150 pounds on this kid. He weighed 250 pounds.
Close to twice his age.
And he's got over 150 pounds on this kid and a 9mm. And yet you were scared of this kid.
And
yet you followed
yet
him,
you,
though.
Exactly.
You followed him.
You shot him. And then you missed the first shot. That's what gets me. You missed the first one. The kid,
yeah,
even
he
if
fought.
He...
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, if the kid was so much of a... I don't want to say... Boy, I was...
Yeah.
We'll get into that in a second now, because, yeah.
I know
it's,
you are.
Dude, I'm a little...
Hey.
Anyway, back to your boy,
Stephon. Yeah, the family wants to know why the police hadn't released any type of findings on their investigation, because every time this happens, the police drag their feet on the investigation,
because they're
of course.
Protecting their own first.
Exactly.
Off. Second off, a 15-year-old autistic kid with a butter knife, and you're fearful for your life,
and you're two trained police officers
that you can't take. You can go in there against a drug lord and detain him. But you can't defend yourself against a 15-year-old autistic kid with a butter knife?
With a butter knife.
Nah, not believing that at all. But, hey, it's easier to shoot and kill somebody right now,
I
but whatever.
I suppose it is.
That's right. And, I know some people are having trouble with chat room. I think I alleviated some of that problem. So if you're still having problems, give us a call, 818-514-1202.
Yeah.
Check this out. An off-duty detective shoots a man and a woman.
You heard about that?
Yep. Now, this happened the 22nd. This happened this week.
Yep.
An off-duty police protective shot a man and a woman after he stopped his car to check out a disturbance outside his Lawndale neighborhood on the west side early Wednesday. A man approached the detective's car about 1 a.m. near 15th Place and Albany Avenue. Then pointed at what the police thought was a handgun. It was a cell phone. The man said he had a cell phone in his hand.
Sounds like LaTanya Haggerty to me.
Okay. And then a detective opened fire, hitting the man in the hand, but also shooting a woman in the head.
Yeah.
You're off duty, and you see a so-called disturbance. Why didn't you radio it in?
Nope.
You're the law. You went over there to find out what's going on, and a man went over there to talk to you with a cell phone, and you shot him in the hand. You shot him, and then you also shot a woman in the head, and she passed.
Yeah, she passed recently. Like she was fighting for her life for about 3 days, and from what I heard, the doctor was saying because of the immense swelling and the amount of blood she lost in her brain, she passed. I think it was the day before yesterday. So, yeah, it's
condolences to that family.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I mean,
that's got to be
hard.
Now, understand that in Chicago, a city of 3 million people, this happens all the time. The reason, one of the reasons that the Trevon case garnered so much attention so quickly is because it was a defenseless kid, a 28-year-old, 26-year-old man in small-town America, and it shocked people, and it shook people. I like to call it the Emmett Till moment of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
When I was on Ramon Garrett's show Thursday, I brought up the fact that when Emmett Till was killed, there were still people being lynched in the South. There were still people being killed over racial motivations in the South, but that crime was so egregious, so shocking, that it shook America, and it shook Black America. So that's what this particular case seems to be doing.
Right.
It's not that he's more important
exactly.
than anybody else in America or Chicago or Detroit. It's the fact that this particular case had all the right elements to shake America
right.
to
yeah.
its core.
Right, and it goes great with what you just said. It's crazy because you can't pin one bad thing on this kid. Not one derogatory. You can't pin
exactly.
nothing on this kid, and he's dead.
Exactly.
That's what's crazy.
What the stupid thing that Geraldo said, he said that because what we like to do is, well, what the press and people like to do is find reasons on why it most likely was your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Video was new at the time. Rodney King got beat, but Rodney King was driving drunk and Rodney King ran from the cops.
Mm-hmm.
If Rodney King got beat today in the video age, it doesn't make a blip on the screen.
Right. Yeah.
And people will look at it and say, oh, yeah, he asked for that whooping. He brought it on himself.
Yeah.
The lady that got shot, and the man that got shot in the hand, it's 1 a.m. In Chicago late at night. The cop is going to use all of that for cover. I don't know the gentleman's background is, but if, and I'm just saying if, because like I say, I don't know what the man's background is. If he has any type of priors, if he has any type of records, all that is going to go against him as far as getting coverage for the particular incident,
mm-hmm.
as far as the press and media is concerned.
Right.
The reason that Trevon is getting the coverage is because he's a squeaky clean, all-American kid. He's just like your kid. He's just like my kid. He's just like any kid who never got in trouble. The majority of kids don't get in trouble.
Don't get in nothing major. I mean, normal kid trouble.
Yeah, right. I'm talking about breaking into houses
right.
and priors and gangbanging. The majority of our kids don't gangbang.
Exactly. I thought, honestly, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought gangbanging was old now. I mean, I remember a certain time it was popular.
In the classic sense it is, but as far as the drug game is concerned, no.
Yeah, I mean, that's a totally different game,
but
though.
But, again, that's the one that they're playing, though.
Right, yeah.
That's the one that they're playing.
But I mean, and it's crazy you go back to that, and it reminds me of the Oscar Grant situation when the guy came. You up to speed with that in case you didn't remember. Oscar Grant was 23, was pulled out of a San Francisco Bay Area bar, trained by police on New Year's Eve day. On New Year's Day, I'm sorry. Several videos show Grant laying on the ground with police standing over him. One officer shot him in the back. The officer was found guilty on second-degree manslaughter and sentenced to 2 years minus time served. So what we're saying is he was, first off, it's first-degree, they charged him with second-degree manslaughter, and he was only sentenced to 2 years minus time served.
Wow.
And he's handcuffed.
And he shot him in the
back,
cold blood, in front of a train
full of people. And that's what's, it's crazy because the officers, he's on the ground. I don't know if anybody is next to YouTube or you're on your computer or whatever. It's a video on YouTube of this man being shot in the back. He's on the ground. Four officers have this man detained and cuffed. And one officer stepped back and says, quote, again, I don't want to misquote, but it says, step back, I'm going to tase him. And he shot him in the back by accident.
Damn.
And then what's crazy is Grant shouted out, you shot me, before he died, because he died at the Highland Hospital
the next morning in Oakland. This is what I'm saying. It's getting and it's only charged as second degree manslaughter
because your life isn't considered to be as worth to be worth as anybody else's life, and part of that silly justification is because we're so quick to fight and kill ourselves.
True. And I give you that.
The reason that the cops feel like they can use you for target practice, that they can use you as the beating stick, because we're so quick to fight and kill ourselves. We don't value each other enough to, hey, if I step on your shoes, man, it shouldn't be a reason for one of us to get killed.
Yeah.
And if we arguing over the same girl in a club, that's no reason to end somebody's life, but we do this all the time.
And you're not mistaken. It's like we have so much pride for what. Let me scratch that. We have so much false pride that we have no humility. We can't humble ourselves to say, "Look, my bad. I'm sorry."
Exactly.
We have a call.
Oh, it's Tony. Yeah.
Oh, it's Tony. Go ahead.
Yep. Hey, Tony. You know we're about to get you a shirt.
Oh, I'm just fuming over here. Human. You know, and you're right. We don't have value for our own lives, for each other. So what the hell do we think that we would hold them to have value for our lives? It's the stupidest thing that, like you said, you can step on another person's shoe, another black person's shoe, and they want to fight you, they want to cut you, they want to shoot you, they want to act a fool with you. You know, they want to fight over each other's woman, over man. Come on now. These folks don't have no value for our lives. And here we are out here proving them right.
Every time.
Because we don't have value.
Every time. And the thing about it is we're quick to scream injustice. Like what's crazy is we're quick to scream injustice every time something happens to us, and not every case calls. I think I said this on something. Not every case
last week
causes for somebody to bring up Jesse bring up Al.
I
heard a story about this guy who ran into a convenience store. And he tore this guy's store up.
Yeah, this was a Ramon Garrett story. He told me when I was doing a guest spot on the show Thursday.
I think it's somebody mentioned the story.
He said the gentleman got shot by the store owner, but the guy went into the guy's store to buy condoms, and I guess he didn't like the price of the condoms, so he gets into it with the guy and start turning over racks and turning over stuff in the store, tearing the store up. So the guy comes behind the glass, gets into it with him, and when he goes to leave, he pops him in the back. And I know they were upset about it in Detroit, and I definitely don't want to step on the family's pain or I grieve for them, but I'm gonna be 100 with you.
Right is right.
Learn conflict resolution. You don't like the price of the condom, brother. Go to Walgreens.
Dude, go somewhere else. You want
to
be real? You want to be real? Gas stations are the ones. One for hey, you got a dollar? Here's one.
There you go.
You want to be real?
Right.
Gas stations.
Wow.
And like we was talking about, if it was that right, you're gonna pay regardless.
There you go. If she's worth it, I'll put a 10 spot down for one if it's worth it. I'm gonna keep it 100. Right.
It's just the fact that. You're absolutely right,
we're very immature. We got to learn conflict resolution. You're right. You should have pride. If you feel like your local neighborhood store is ripping you off, yes, you should not take that line down. Turn stuff over in the store and getting into it with the guy is not the thing to do. All you got to do is say, hey, man, you won't get my money no more.
Exactly.
And you tell everybody else, don't go there.
They're ripping you off. You don't want to do this.
Because you just turn yourself into a statistic that they
won't
treat.
Exactly.
Because they expect us to act a fool.
And I read a book. I think it's called From Niggas to Gods. I have to say it. From Niggas to God, Volume 2. It says to make a person, in order for you to kill a person, you have to make them killable. And if you make this person's killable, then,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's another thing about Trayvon. You couldn't make him killable.
Yep.
Now, we'll get into this in an hour or two, because you got Newt Gingrich pumped behind. You got Glenn Beck stinking behind. They're all trying to make him killable, but it's not working.
the best the best you got is, well, he shouldn't have been wearing a hood.
Yeah, and that's the part. The best you can.
I think that's the part that infuriated me the most.
But that's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you,
you're right, Candace.
You shouldn't wear your pants sagging. This is why the cop shot you. You shouldn't have wore the white T-shirt. This is why the cop shot you. You shouldn't have been out at 1 a.m. This is why the cops. This is the justification that they're going to use.
If we had the same type of unity, if we had the same type of, if we had each other's back the way the cops have each other's back, if you kill a cop, you're going to have a swarm after you. You're going to have an actual army after you. But if roles are reversed, we don't do nothing.
You talking about the cops. I'm not going to even use the cops as an example. If we had the type of unity that the Jewish people have, this is down in Florida. You're not going to kill a young Jewish boy walking back with a bag of Skittles. You're not going to do it because the whole world is going to come down on you because of the unity that they garnish for one another.
We, capital W-E, we
say it
have
again.
To stay together. We have to come together. We have to go ahead.
I think the problem why we can't stay together is years and years of mental conditioning.
No doubt.
This is true.
To divide and conquer.
Light against the dark.
Hundreds of years removed from whence we came from. You know,
right.
you want to get that deep into
Let's
it.
Go.
I mean, hey, like I say, light skin against the dark skin. How many times have you heard? Ooh, Candace, your hair is so pretty for you to be so dark.
Hair versus perm hair.
Exactly.
All that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It all comes into play. Like the fact that I'm growing my hair is crazy. I'm growing my locks out just so I could. I want them. And I would have a female, say, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to grow your hair out? It's nasty. All of these things because you have been brainwashed to believe that that's nasty hair.
Right.
And to go against your own natural beauty.
Exactly.
That's right. And as long as you believe that black is dirty, you'll never try to be great.
That's right.
Try to be great. And matter of fact, we just did a photo shoot this afternoon.
Yeah.
And that's when we all took the hoodie pictures, and I was taking my hoodie picture, and when I put the hood on, I felt like I was looking at Zimmerman. I just felt like I was looking at him, and the guy asked me to turn and look in the camera. Well, you guys seen the picture.
We were there.
And Devon just had this look because he thought I was looking at him.
Yeah, I had to say, hey, man, what is... I had to check my pockets, make sure there wasn't no Skittles in there or something, man. You had to look like God, like, yeah. But, no, actually, it's just the fact that the whole day has been kind of somber. It's been joyous, but at the same time, it's been kind of somber because at the end of the day, a young promising teen is dead. And that's what's irritating me the most because the guy did nothing.
And here's the part that scares me the most.
Real quick, 818-514-1202. Hey, I want to hear from some more people out there, and put your input in. Let's hear what you got to say out there. We want to hear your truth.
People, please call in because let's be real about this thing. The way that big media works, the next big story that comes out, they're going to gloss all over this shit, and it's going to be like it never happened. Yes, I did. I'm sorry. I had to let it go because I'm mad now.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yep.
But they're going to gloss over, and then it's going to go into something else, and then this is going to be a distant memory. People, we cannot let
it
happen. Keep happening.
It happened.
Tell your kids. Tell anyone that you feel needs to be told. Anyone and everyone.
Look at, I mean, just the fact that they glossed over Sean Bell kind of, I mean, after a while, we forgot about it. We forgot about Darian Albert.
We forgot
about Oscar Grant, Yusef Muhammad.
Right.
All of these people we have forgot about. Because we just, media is going to kill it eventually. They're going to stop covering it.
That's right.
They're going to just say, we've done our job.
But that's
pack
because
your bags,
we didn't
move
do
on
the follow
with
through that needs to be done.
Exactly. We can't let them kill the story.
If you can buy, like you were saying before, if we can come as one and unite on this thing.
As you're saying, when a story, today's media has a 24-hour news cycle. So in 24 hours, if the story doesn't have strong enough legs, they're going to let it go. Well, eventually, when you hear these stories about police shootings and this, that, and the story loses its legs, some of these groups and some of these organizations, yeah, you got a pastor that's going to go out there, they're going to walk up and down the street, and they're going to preach, and they're going to do this little Stop the Violence march. But that doesn't rejuvenate the story and give the story legs. If you don't learn anything from your history, you're doomed to repeat it. I mean, the civil rights movement did not go back out and do the same thing over and over again. They rejuvenated the story by taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
So when the story starts dying down in Cal City or Inglewood, and you feel that the story isn't getting enough attention, then you're supposed to get your people. You guys go to the police department and you occupy it.
And, or better yet,
you occupy
it. We walk past Channel 7 News. It's right across the street from the Chicago Theater. You can sit right there and get you occupy right in front of that.
That's right.
At the end of Channel 7, they always pan outside and let everybody who's out. They have a clear glass window on the first floor. They pan outside and let everybody wave. Get out there and say, hey, get you a group of people, get a crowd of people,
get your post
and sit out there and you occupy that.
That's right.
Keep this. I don't want to hear next month we don't know nothing else about the Trayvon Martin. But we have one more caller on the line.
That's right. Hey, caller, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your comment? Oh, nope, and they're gone.
Well, there it is.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, man, I don't want Trayvon, a kid. I mean, and it's like, when we go to Darian Alvin, all of these kids, the guy that got, I think Darian was the one that got shot on the bus, defending this girl because an idiot walked on the bus and decided he wanted to start spraying people. These are things, man, that after a while we just forget about. And it's come on, man. We're doing this to ourselves. That's what I was telling this person. Well, real quick before we get ready to go, I was telling this person that we were talking about earlier about the Inglewood area and everything. You can't, like Big Brother said earlier, you can't expect somebody to want to come out there and help us if you're killing yourself. Trayvon wasn't killed by nobody. He wasn't killed by us. I don't want to say it like that, but he wasn't killed by us. He was killed by a villain. We're going to call it what it is. He was killed by a glorified hall monitor.
That's right.
That's what he was.
That's right.
He was Cartman on South Park when he thought he was Dog. That's what he was.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, he lost his life because of it. Now, you're telling me that if a guy in Inglewood kills another guy in Inglewood, it's not going to be a problem, and they're both black. It's black on black, senseless crimes. But we'll be back with the second hour with more on the Trayvon tragedy.
That's right, with two special guests, and we'll introduce them when we come in on the second half. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Terror is a bunch of bullshit. Just a poor excuse for you to use up on your bullets. How much money does it take to really make a full clip? 9/11 building 7, did they really fool it? And a bunch of other cover-ups. Your child's future was the first to go with budget cuts. If you think that hurts, then wait, here comes the...
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
Hey, we've had some break-ins in my neighborhood, and there's a real suspicious guy. It's Retrieve View Circle. The best address I can give you. This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?
He looks black.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and either jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes. He's here now. He was just staring.
Oh, he's just walking around the area?
Looking at all the houses.
Okay.
Now he's just staring at me.
Okay. Hey, so
that's the clubhouse.
That's the clubhouse. Do you know what the... He's near the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, now he's coming towards me.
Okay.
He's got his hand in his waistband. And he's a black male.
Okay. How old would you say he looks?
He's got a button on his shirt. Late teens.
Late teens, okay.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with him. Yep. He's coming to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if he does anything, okay?
Over here.
Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else.
Okay. They always get away. Down towards the entrance of the neighborhood.
Okay, which entrance is that he's heading towards?
The back entrance.
Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need you to do that.
Okay.
All right, sir, what is your name?
George. He ran.
All right, George, what's your last name?
Zimmerman.
And, George, what's the phone number you're calling from? All right, George, we do have him on the way. Do you want to meet with the officer when they get out there?
Yeah.
All right, where are you going to meet with him at? Okay, do you live in the area?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your apartment number? Okay, do you want to just meet with him right near the mailboxes, then?
Yeah, that's fine.
Just let him know to meet you with the out there, okay?
Actually, could you have him call me and I'll tell him where I'm at?
Okay, yeah, that's no problem.
911, do you need police, fire, medical?
Maybe both, I'm not sure. There's just someone screaming outside.
Okay, what's the address that they're near? Okay, and is it a male or female?
It sounds like a male.
Okay, and you don't know why?
I don't know why. I think they're yelling help, but I don't know. Just send someone quick. Say, ah.
Okay, does he look hurt to you?
I can't see him. I don't want to go out there. I don't know what's going on. So they're sending.
So you think he's yelling help?
Yes.
All right. What is your number?
There's gunshots.
You just heard gunshots?
Yes.
How many?
This one. Jimmy, get down. No, come here.
Is he no longer yelling?
No one. I don't know. Jeremy, get in here now. Jeremy, get up here.
All right, is he right outside?
Yeah, pretty much out the back, yeah.
Is he in front of it or behind that address?
He's behind my house.
Okay.
Just stay away from the windows.
I don't hear him yelling anymore. Do you hear anything?
No, I don't, because I'm hiding upstairs. There was a gunshot right outside our house. I mean, you've obviously sent someone already, right?
Yes, it's in dispatch. What's your name and phone number?
My name is... My phone number is...
How do you spell your last name? Okay. Right, do you hear any vehicles leaving or anyone else? Do you hear anything right
There's
now?
People yelling out there, but I don't want to go down there, so...
Okay, multiple people are yelling now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we do have officers on the way. Just call us back if you do hear or see anything else suspicious, like any vehicles leaving or anything like that, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. This is the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. 818-514-1202 is the number to give us a call.
Yeah, and you can always hit us up at our email. I'm sorry, people. You can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And we are standing by with your comments and feedback on Facebook and Twitter this evening. Apologies, ladies and gentlemen. This is shaking me to my core.
I know.
I've got a teenager, and I just...
I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
We got two very special guests on the line.
Yeah, first guest we got is Carl Menefee, good brother of the Illinois Correctional Officer. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
And the other guest we have is Theo Brooks. He's a 15-year retired police officer. And I want to welcome both of you brothers on Truth Brothers Radio. How you doing, guys?
All right. How you doing, Ray?
All right,
hey,
man.
Devon, how you doing?
I'm good, bro. How you feeling?
Thank you all for being on the show. I mean, we really do appreciate your comments on this.
That's right. I asked these gentlemen to be a guest on our show tonight because law enforcement is taking an incredible beating due to this situation, and rightfully so. So I want to get two people in law enforcement, one on the arresting side and the other on the detainment side,
right,
to kind of ferret this issue out and give their professional opinions on what's going right and wrong with this case.
Right.
And
let me just throw something out there real quick. I really have to thank Toni Breedlove because she's really on here pumping this show and getting people aware and involved. So Toni,
yes,
we really have to,
yes,
say thank you. And so our appreciation to you, we really appreciate that.
And the chat room is blowing up, man. And I love you guys for doing this. I think we're gonna make this a regular thing.
Right.
And Force 259, man, I'm really digging the comments that you're putting down over there. So keep up the good work, guys. Theo, I want to ask you the first question. If I call 911 and I'm giving you a situation, or 911 is dispatching you on a situation, and I'm ignoring what the 911 officer is telling me to do, isn't that a problem?
Yeah, and let me say, as you guys play that tape, it kind of it reminded me of the days that I indeed was on the streets. And when you hear those tapes tell a whole lot when you call that dispatcher. And in this situation with this young man, what infuriates me is that the media wants to use that law that they have, that the police department tried to justify the shooting.
Yes.
And listening to this tape, you know, I hear first degree murder now. And
that's what I'm saying.
And
that
was going to be my next question to Theo was, if I'm not mistaken, because of the first part of the show, I said it's not manslaughter. It to me, it seemed like first degree murder and premeditated murder. If I'm mistaken, correct me. But am I mistaken, Theo, or not?
No, you're not mistaken. And what happened was, and what the media does is they get a hold of the story and they're spinning. And instead of, and actually that police department as well, they took their own hook and closed out a case, and just it is sickening to know that this young man, his last days, and you know, I've seen enough young men out there on the street that's dead, and you know, to see the father on television describing where his son was laying when the police department shows up at his house, they didn't even have the courtesy to call him from the morgue and say, hey, could you come take a look at this body? No, they come with their own priest in a uniform with a cross on and say, is this your son on a picture? You know, I'd have to say that I don't understand where that police department is going, but I think you and I have a good idea, and I think that village or that city manager down there should start off by firing, number one, that
Police chief voluntarily, temporarily step down. But I'm with you. He should have been fired. Carl, we haven't forgot you.
Yeah,
I definitely got a question for you.
Damn.
But what I want to do is I want to give some people some facts about this case. I got a couple of straight up facts here that I got from Think Progress. Thanks to Think Progress on this. That's another great website that people should go on if you want to get some facts about things that's going on in America. But here's a couple of things that I want people to know about this case. Zimmerman called the police to report Martin's suspicious behavior, which he described as just walking around. Zimmerman saw in his car when he saw Martin walk in the street. He called the police and said, "There's a real suspicious guy. He looked like he's up to no good on drugs or something. It's raining and he's just walking around." Later on, he says that these assholes always get away with this. And, yeah, I said it in this case. We're going to be 100 with this. Zimmerman pursued Martin against the explicit instructions of the police dispatcher. The dispatcher says, "Are you following him?" Zimmerman says, "Yeah." Dispatcher says, "Okay, we don't need you to do that." Again, when the dispatcher is trying to find out his location so the officers can meet him to get what's going on, he won't give it because he's
following him.
So he's literally lying to the dispatcher.
You hear him get out of his vehicle.
You heard the door open.
You hear him breathing. You hear him constantly following him.
And the thing is real fast, it also states that he said that Trayvon took off running. He took off running because in another tape it has with Trayvon was on the phone with his girlfriend, and he tells his girlfriend, "This guy is following me. He stopped and looked at you because he was trying to get an ID of you so when he gets home, he can either tell his parents or call the police and say, 'Hey, it's a guy at the end of the block. I think he was following me.'"
Right.
He told his girlfriend at the time, you know, whatever, had said, "Run."
Right.
He says, "No, I'm not going to run, but I'm going to walk fast away from him."
Right.
Then when he saw Zimmerman continue to follow him, that's when he run. And that's when Zimmerman said,
"For a minute.
He's running."
Right.
Yeah, because you're chasing him.
Exactly.
Have you followed what the dispatcher had said? Stay in your car. Don't follow him. None of this would have happened.
Exactly. Also, prior to the release of the 911 tapes, Zimmerman's father releases a statement claiming, "At no time did George follow or confront Mr. Martin." So, see, they was trying to get their lie together from the jump. The father and their lawyers were doing their best to keep the 911 tapes from getting released because they knew he was going to get blown up about it. Zimmerman was carrying a 9mm handgun. Martin was carrying a bag of Skittles and a can of iced tea. Martin weighed 140 pounds. Zimmerman weighed 250. Martin's English teacher described him as an A-B student who majored in cheerfulness. Now, the A-B student is going to become important when I tell you what Glenn Beck's punk behind had to say in his website. Yeah,
I know.
Had to say about Martin. So I'm going to be getting back to that.
Right.
Martin had no criminal record.
None.
Nothing. Not jaywalking. Not anything. Zimmerman was charged in July 2005 with resisting arrest and violence and battery on a police officer.
See, how about it?
He has a history of violence.
And what's,
he's the one with the priors.
And what's
he's
crazy,
the criminal.
What's crazy about that is it was a statement when Trayvon's father had called the police and said, "Why is that?" Because they had said, quote, "He has a squeaky clean background." He asked the police station about that, and the police came right back at Trayvon's father and said, "We can't do anything about it now. We're investigating, but as far as we know, he has a squeaky clean background."
Now, get
go
this.
Ahead.
Maybe
Zimmerman called
said.
The police 46 times
yes.
since January 2000, January 1, 2011. According to neighbors, Zimmerman was fixated on crime and focused on young black males. Zimmerman had been the subject of complaint by neighbors in his gated community for aggressive tactics. See, he was known in the neighborhood for being a jerk.
Yeah.
He's a self-appointed.
Matter of fact,
Yeah, go ahead, Candace. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, out of all the reports that we've read, he self-appointed himself to Neighborhood Watch captain or whatever. But I'm going to tell you, what I really believe is going to happen in this case, what I truly believe is going to happen, even if they do try to prosecute him, he's going to plead insanity.
Right. But real quick, I had a question that I wanted to propose to Carl. Carl, you know, being in the correctional office environment, I'm sure you encounter a lot of dangerous teens and, you know, a couple of teens that you can talk to and just tell, yo, this person isn't this way or whatever like that. And I wanted to know, you're a pretty big dude. What necessary force do you use to, like, detain or whatever to basically calm any teen down?
Well, I mean, just I want to comment on what you guys were talking about earlier about the whole the stand your ground law. It's not a new thing to law enforcement or the law books of the United States, you can say. That's been around. It's not new. It's basically, it how can I put it? It extends outside of your home, this stand your ground law. But
yeah, that's you're talking about
the
castle doctrine.
Exactly. Once the threat has left and it's gone, which they clearly documented on the 911 tapes, it's a wrap. Everything else after that is a liability to you. If you're going to sue him, that's it. If you get your tail kicked, that's on you. You can't you can't sue anybody for that because they gave you direct orders. Sir, we don't need you to do that. Stop. Do what you do. If someone was to break in my house now, if I was to shoot him and the bullet wound shows that I shot him in the front and exit through the back, I'm good. But if it shows I shot him in the back, I'm not good. I'm going to jail. I'm going to get convicted for first-degree murder.
So even if this intruder is in your home and you shot him in
the
back.
Once the threat is leaving, once he grabs your 60-inch television and goes out the door, it's a wrap now. It's in the local municipality hands. Correct me if I'm wrong, brother.
Well, right, because, you know, and well, at least here in the state of Illinois, because our gun laws are so, crazy. Right, here you will get it, but if you were down in Florida, you would get away with that. If you shot them in the back on the way out, they can play that. But here in Illinois, yes, you would get you would get charged for something.
The difference with the Castle Doctrine and the Stand Your Ground Law is the Castle Doctrine talks about the perimeter of your home. It does, but the Stand Your Ground Law extended it throughout the entire state. So that means you did not have to run away from a confrontation. You were allowed to supposedly stand your ground.
But if you look at the confrontation is leaving you, that's it. It's over.
Right.
That's first degree murder that this guy just committed.
Right. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. And if you look at the statistics, when they did the Stand Your Ground Law, justifiable homicides in the state exploded. Mm-hmm. Exploded.
Oh, exactly.
I would imagine.
But back to your question, Devon, I'm sorry. We use our hands in the sense of trying to take that individual down. If it doesn't happen, then you wait for backup. But other than that, that's all you can do. You can't go breaking his neck, you know, kung fu fighting type stuff. You know, it's not that. That type of party. You have to do things to restrain them. That's about it.
Well, real quick, I just got one other question because I was when I was going over this case, I was trying to think of all the charges that could be brought up against Zimmerman, and I wanted to ask you two again, and you both are in law enforcement. I wanted to know, is there a way that Zimmerman can also be brought up on a hate crime? I had this debate with someone, and I wanted to know, can this constitute as a hate crime?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. He was hitting it on the head. It is a federal. The Justice Department is going to, of course, look after that. But you know.
That's what I was asking because I knew the feds were getting involved. That's why I had asked.
Well, see, just like you said, they've been getting their lie together for 29 days.
That's right.
That's number one. That's the big problem with this case is that, number one, just to shed the light, what should have happened, number one, when the officers arrived at the scene, the dispatcher should have notified them that that whole incident went from a suspicious subject to a shots fired. So when it went to a shots fired, the officer should have responded with caution. When it got there, everybody involved, hands out, let me see your hands, who has the weapon? Whoever has the weapon, weapon should be taken. The Zimmerman should have been placed in that vehicle, detained, taken to the station, whatever they needed to do. Then, from that point, you should have notified the supervisor, should have notified the chief of police. I'm sure in a town that small, the protocol starts from the responding officer of a notification all the way to the chief of police. They should have came out to that scene, asked, and also notified detectives, which would have been on that list, and from there, report back to the station, ask Zimmerman, did he have a statement to give? And in this case, it seems like his mouth likes to run. He could have told that lie, would have been ahead and charged with first-degree murder. And when he asked why was he charged with first-degree murder, all we had to do was go back and pull the tapes that a dispatcher, who is a sworn official, told him, do not pursue that subject.
Right.
That is not your
right.
duty. Now, that's how this case should have unfolded. If it happened on the 17th, that boy should have been charged by the 19th.
There you go. True Brothers Radio, 818-514-1202.
That's coming
is
from
the
a
number.
Veteran.
And you just heard from a 15-year retired police officer telling you how the thing should have went down. But this is how it actually went down. A police officer corrected a key witness. Officers told the witness, a longtime teacher, that it was Zimmerman who cried for help. The witness said ABC News has spoken to the teacher, and she confirmed that the officer corrected her when she said it was the teenager shouting for help.
You could clearly hear that was a kid screaming at
him. And when was he screaming? When he was screaming for help, when he pointed the gun at
right,
Martin?
Exactly. Three right. witnesses say they heard a boy cry for help before shots were fired. Well, we gave you one of those when we gave you a clip of the 911.
The grown man was crying and screaming for help while he's holding a 9mm.
Three witnesses contacted by the Miami Herald say they heard moments before the incident where they heard the boy howling for help and begging for his life. The police officer in charge of the crime scene also received criticism in 2010 when he initially failed to arrest a lieutenant's son who was videotaped attacking a homeless man. The police did not test Zimmerman for drugs or alcohol. The law enforcement experts told ABC that Zimmerman sounded intoxicated on the 911 tape. A drug and alcohol test is standard procedure in most homicide investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, they had no problem testing the deceased for drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. No, of course.
We should be fortunate that they didn't plant any drugs or alcohol on the kid.
Or a gun.
In a cell phone call moments before his death, Martin told a teenage girl that he was hounded by a strange man on a cell phone who ran after him, cornered him, and confronted him. He said that this man was watching him, so he put his hoodie on. Let me explain something to everybody out there. People who study animals, like on Animal Planet or things like that, when you hear about Jane Goodall's study of gorilla behavior, a lot of scientists disqualified a lot of the stuff she said because they said it's a golden rule about studying people. When you study someone and the person knows, the subject knows that you're studying them, they change their behavior, so therefore you change the condition of what you're studying.
Yeah.
The brother knew that this guy was watching him, that this guy was checking him. That's why he put the hoodie on and started to walk faster. Everything that Zimmerman was calling suspicious, he made happen.
Mm-hmm.
Also, did you state that it was raining also, right?
Yeah, that's I stated that earlier. I stated it earlier that it was raining. And
the hood could have went on also because it was raining.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I wanted to, when you read that, I wanted to read something else that I found out. Frank Taft came to Zimmerman's defense. Neighborhood watchman Frank Taft and friend to George Zimmerman has come to defend him and his claim of self-defense in the shooting of the Miami teenager. A Sanford neighbor of George Zimmerman and fellow neighborhood watch captain in their gated community came to his defense Tuesday saying that he shot the teenager, Trayvon Martin, after numerous burglaries at the retreat at Twin Lakes. Frank Taft pointed out the circumstances that he believes led to the 28-year-old neighbor to react the way he did in the night of February 26. 8 burglaries within 15 months, most done by young black males, he said. Now, first off, Taft is a white man, just to put that out there. Whatever. The stage is already, this is a quote, the stage is already set. It was a perfect storm, Taft said. I think anytime you use a weapon, there are certain anger issues working. NBC 6 could not immediately confirm the burglary statistics Taft cited on the phone to the Sanford police Tuesday night.
Yeah, real quick, I was checking out some of the comments in the face in the chat room, and somebody asked, where is our Farrakhan on this? And I'm going to tell you something about Minister Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan doesn't open his mouth and put an input in on every situation, but I can guarantee you he's watching this thing, and when does open his mouth, it's going to be
In volumes.
It's going to be in volumes, but he also don't want to just jump out in front of the cameras like some people seem to do. And I'm not talking about Al Sharpton in this case.
Right.
But as he doesn't always run to the forefront to jump in front of the camera because he knows when he puts his input in, it could also throw off the momentum of whatever's going on.
Right. Right.
Right. But it's our response that needs to be heard. You know, we should, like you said earlier, Devon, we should not be waiting for Jesse, Minister Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, or any other of the leaders. We need to start making our voices the forefront of things like that.
I got a question for Theo. When the lead detective in this case wasn't even a homicide detective when they assigned this guy.
He was a narcotic detective.
Now, is it just me or does it seem like that they were trying to lead this case down a particular path, like they were getting their setup ready to justify why this guy got shot, and then they found out, oh my God, he was squeaky clean and just an all around a regular kid.
You know what? I'm gonna be honest, and this is strictly my opinion. I believe they didn't give a damn. I'm being honest. This is a young man who was laying on the ground, gunshot wound. You have a narcotic detective come in, talk to Zimmerman, take his riffraff statement, let him go, take the young man, send him to take him to the morgue. His daddy's looking for him. You're not even talking to the neighbors who basically everybody, you just heard the 911 tape, you heard the witnesses. They didn't even bother. To me, it just seems like they were on. They had made their mind up the moment Zimmerman gave their statement, and they at no point, it just seemed like they gave no care for this young man.
Right.
There's just no way. And I've been on the job long enough to know that when something like this happens, there's a protocol. I have yet to see a protocol in this case. And what gets me is that they say, if you watched it on Political Nation, this guy, the city manager, says he felt that what his police chief and everybody in this case did was fair. You got to be kidding. I totally agree with Michael Bazin when he tried to shake Michael Bay's hand. Michael Bay said, I shake a real man's hand.
That's
and what
right.
makes it so bad is that this city manager is an African-American, and you mean to tell me you have the power to fire this guy? You mean
oh,
and not
wow.
only that, let me let you guys know, in that type of structure, because that's the type of department I work for, you are supposed to notify the city manager as well that a homicide has happened in your city. So that means he knew about it and probably laid in the bed, didn't care about it. And he's an African American, and here it is, one of his very own is laying out there in the cold, in the rain, and he did nothing about it. He didn't even follow through like he should have. Everybody from that detective on up should be investigated by the Justice Department.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm disgusted because when I did the job with integrity. And if when you see something like this happen,
I don't want to go ahead and say that, but I want you to say what it was going on. You had told me something right the other day. You had told me something about Trayvon's cell phone was steady going off.
When we come back from break, we'll go ahead and delve right back into that, Theo. So stand by, Truth Brothers listeners. We'll be back momentarily.
Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio.
What Malcolm X said when he got silenced by Elijah Muhammad was in fact true. America's chickens are coming home to roost. We took this country by terror away from the Sioux, the Apache, the Arawak, the Comanche, the Arapaho, the Navajo. Terrorism. We took Africans from their country to build our way of ease and kept them enslaved and living in fear. Terrorism. We bombed Grenada and killed innocent civilians, babies, non-military personnel. We bombed the black civilian community of Panama with stealth bombers and killed
Truth Brothers Radio. We're back, and right before we went to the break, it was something that I wanted my truth. Oh, first off, let me welcome y'all back. We got two special guests on the line, Theo and Carl. They're both brothers are involved in law enforcement. We definitely want to say what's up to you guys. Thank you again for coming through and educating us, and as well as educating our audience with how this procedure should be done.
Again, when you were talking about the cell phone, this is also to you guys. They took Trayvon's cell phone. At the time, he had just got cut off from his girlfriend, not hung up, cut off because the confrontation took place. They held the body for 3 days. For 3 days, the father is trying to figure out what happened to his kid. He's blowing up the cell phone, and yet nobody picks it up and nobody answers it. How do you come across a crime scene, see a cell phone, and don't dial the last number that was called?
Real quick, that was one I wanted to propose. I got a question for Carl coming up next, but this is something I wanted to ask Theo. Are you allowed to answer the cell phone, or if the body's laying there and the cell phone is going off while you're there,
are you allowed to answer the cell phone?
Yes. And just to add to that, that the body is laying there, the cell phone is ringing. I tell you what, let's make this even more simple in educating the people. His father was only about 70 yards away at that apartment. If they did their job by knocking on the doors,
exactly,
they would have went ahead and knocked on the door and then wouldn't even went so far as the father calling the cell phone. As simple as that.
Wow.
That's generic investigation right there. You ask questions around the area. You scour the perimeter. You work your way from the outside in. If you have a cell phone there, that is key evidence. You pick that cell phone up, you start calling. It's the same thing as if you found someone's cell phone and they had the word home next to a number. You call that home. Hey, I found this cell phone from this person. That's just simple stuff. It's just like Theo said. They did not give a damn. They did not give a damn when they sent a drug investigation detective there instead of a homicide. They're showing all the patterns of not giving a damn, and that's why the Department of Justice has intervened in this whole situation. It's not going to be fair. They don't give a hell. That we all know what it is.
Now, I have a question for you, gentlemen. Now, like the reports say, this Zimmerman guy is a self-appointed neighborhood watchman, captain, okay?
Yeah.
Now, here's my question. Now, like, I'm from the city of Chicago. I know they have, like, the CAPS program where they help you organize neighborhood watches, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so with that being said, there's got to be some major things that have been violated here. I mean, even if, you know, you are part of an official neighborhood watch, you can't tell me that it – number one, this guy was carrying a weapon.
But that's,
you
that's
know,
the Florida law, that carrying.
Well, I mean, I understand that part of it. But, I mean, just fundamentally, under a neighborhood watch, I mean, under these circumstances, is it lawful?
No, I mean, you know what, Candace, first off, the neighborhood watch is just what it says, neighborhood watch. Now, he was out patrolling. He was looking for something. And this is what I don't understand is that when they made that contact with him that night, that's like someone who's wearing a security badge who's been watching the store, and if he gets into an altercation or something happens or if he shoots somebody, the police is going to do the same thing to him. Why they didn't do it to this man who is even lesser than a security guard?
That's my thing.
This guy is nothing. He's just a pair of eyes.
That's
all he is.
Thing.
The worst thing he should have in his hand is a flashlight. That's about all he should have in his hand.
For real.
Devon said about that guy. Devon said that guy said he would do the same thing as neighbor. But also, I saw that interview. The interview showed that he said that I leave my gun in my house, though, because he understood he has no right to shoot anyone because you're a neighborhood watch. Like he said, like Theo said, this guy is nothing but a glorified security guard. Security guards that's in charge of the AT&T stores, they still have to call the local municipality if any type of deadly force or anything else has to get done.
Exactly. He shouldn't just automatically assume police power and feel like he should be able to pursue, you know, other people, other vehicles, anything like that. And for him to have the record that he's called into 911 46 times the previous year and that he has had a prior record, does none of that play into any of this?
Wait, right before you guys answer, I wanted to say 818-514-1202 is the number. Anybody who have any questions as far as this case too, and that you may have had in as far as the law, you want to ask these gentlemen, feel free to do that.
That's
as well.
Right. That's right. And also, here's another question to Carl. We were talking in the first hour about this case in general, but on a broader aspect on how people doesn't seem to galvanize around every time there's a police shooting or just a shooting period. And I was bringing up the fact is because we don't know how to respect ourselves, and we're so quick to kill ourselves that it's hard to get people outside of the community to weep for us. You being in corrections, how many inmates do you find that just have a problem with general conflict resolution?
Oh, man, that's one of the biggest things that I come encounter with every day. Some of these guys don't have any conflict resolution because they didn't have fathers. I mean, a lot of things they know is wrong, but they have no sense of a conflict resolution. Everything is just is ready to fight.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they go to. They don't know how to just walk away from something. Something as small as someone stepping on their shoes or saying something out of pocket, what they deem is out of pocket to them, they're ready to fight. And a lot of times in the setting that I patrol, you have to be that way because if you don't do something about it, then they'll come and try to punk you, put it like that. So a lot of times it's survival of the fittest in those situations, but on the streets, it's a whole different thing. You can walk away from that, but a lot of these brothers, they just don't have conflict resolution about themselves. That's one of my number one, I'm always harping on while I'm at work, is the fact that after I break up a fight or a confrontation or something like that, once I interview the inmate so that I get my paperwork together, excuse me, first thing I ask them, why didn't you stop? You know, why didn't you just walk away from that situation? Because both of these guys are getting charged for fighting because I don't know who started or whatever. But if you walk away, I'm not saying get your butt kicked. Defend yourself, but you can still walk away. Don't let the situation blow up bigger than what it is.
Well, exactly. Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. We're talking to Carl Menefee and Theo Brooks. Carl Menefee is a Illinois Correctional Officer, and Theo Brooks is a 15-year retired police officer. And if you got any questions for these brothers, this is the perfect time to get an idea from the other side that we rarely get, because it's very easy to just say, okay, all the cops are the bad guys, this, that, and the other. And without getting some type of resolution in there. But we got a call. Hold on. Hey, Tony, you're on with the Truth Brothers.
Hi,
Tony,
thank
you.
Tony,
we just going to give you a shirt and let you know when we come on. So you
there
can
you
just
go.
Call.
We're going to get you a ticket and fly you out.
Right.
Here.
You know what? I can see the passion that these two gentlemen, your guests, have. And, you know, I love you both for it. I truly love you both for it, especially being in law enforcement. You have to be a special kind of person to be in law enforcement. But my question to the two gentlemen have to do with the gun laws, the gun laws, the carry laws. Now, I'm not sure where you're both assigned in your duties, but from state to state, I understand that the laws can be different. But under the circumstance of Zimmerman being a self-proclaimed and self-appointed security guard, should he have had a permit to carry the gun under those circumstances?
No. In Florida, they do have a carry conceal law. And, see, this is the problem. Illinois is the last state right now. Wisconsin was the state before it to go ahead and pass a carry conceal. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we just voted down the carry conceal this last year in our Illinois congressional members. And so that's the part that's really confusing everyone, is that would it be in a carry concealed state? He's not only called himself Neighborhood Watch, but then he's also trying to abuse a law, his right to carry, and then goes out and commits an act and tries to justify it on top of him saying, well, I was Neighborhood Watch. Because actually, to be honest, what if no one knew he was Neighborhood Watch?
Right.
It would be clearly a situation where this Zimmerman shot Martin, and he needs to explain. But, you know, here he is, just so happened, he calls in 49 times, 46 or 49 times, and every time he calls in, it so happened to be a black kid doing something suspicious. And then another point I want to make is that we noticed that their neighbor said that burglars – the burglars were There were 8 burglaries in that neighborhood. Well, let me say something from experience as a cop. Most burglars are either crackheads or kids. They're not violent offenders. So the most of the burglars in progress I done caught through my years, the crackhead or the teen drops the TV and shoots off running because they want to get away from you. And in this scenario, this man approached this kid. We heard it on the tape. It's horrific to hear the lady calling saying that someone's yelling for help, because you can hear that high-pitched voice yelling for help. And then this guy takes off one shot. And the thing with the carry concealed, I believe that's one reason why Illinois does not want the law here. But, you know, it's inevitable that at some point some type of carry concealed will happen in Illinois. But these are the measures that we have to take, Chicago is taking place or taking shape so that these type of incidents don't happen. Because actually, to be honest, those who are law-abiding citizens, they have weapons and they have them in the house. I've been to the house hundreds of times on domestic situations, and I ask you have a weapon in the house? Yes, sir, it is. It's in the back. Fine. I don't need to know nothing else.
Right.
But for somebody to be out there and saying I'm neighborhood watch and they're ripping her, that's just so you would know, Tony, this is another reason why the state of Illinois got rid of reserve police officers. Reserve police officers were running around doing the same things Zimmer were doing here in the state of Illinois. So they took a ban on it. They said no reserve police officers. Reserve police officers were no more than traffic aides with a gun in certain towns in Chicago or surrounding the Chicagoland area. Yeah, and they got rid of them.
Real quick, I'm sorry, Rick. I just had a real quick question that I wanted to ask Carl, considering the fact that you said about, not that Carl's a reserve police officer, but I wanted to know, Carl, do you have the same, you being a CO, a correction officer, do your guidelines fall and constitute as the same as an actual police officer, or are there similar slight differences?
I'm an Illinois certified peace officer. I can make arrests. I've made arrests on the street. I had a DUI arrest about 6 months ago. But in that jurisdiction, I did it. It was in Harvey, Illinois. I detained the guy. As soon, I made the phone call that I needed to make. I detained the guy. Harvey came and took him away. He was on one of my tiers when I locked him up, the guy that
right.
I arrested. I do have police powers. I can carry on and off duty, everything.
Okay, all
right. And just to add to that, although I'm retired, here's another thing that I believe that people like Zimmerman should go through if they have the right to carry. Now, I'm retired because I was injured in a line of duty and I have metal in my back and I can't function like I used to. But
okay.
Every year I have to go shoot my weapon. I have to qualify. I have to get a signature. I have to go through all of this just to carry a weapon. It didn't matter how many years I was on the street. It didn't matter. None of that matters. But I have to carry. I have to go through all this red tape just to carry my weapon. But yet someone like Zimmerman goes and fill out an application. They say approve, and he's out walking around saying he's a neighborhood watch with a carrying and conceal a 9mm.
Okay.
Wow.
With that even being said, though, do you feel like I'm gonna ask you one more question, Theo? Do you feel like the carry and conceal law should be an Illinois law? If Zimmerman can do it, and you feel as if you're 15 years into law enforcement and you have to go through hoops basically to fire your weapon, do you feel like in certain cases that the carry and conceal law should be here as well?
I believe at the point that we are at right now, and especially the weekend. I do have concerns about some residents who are law-abiding citizens, and from what I've seen, yeah, I believe that if we pass some of the responsible laws like New York State, you know, those states that went ahead and moved forward with cities, yeah, it's inevitable. I mean, the Second Amendment is someone's right, but
right.
I think that those flaws that Florida have, especially with the heck they just, you know, the police department is pulling down there, that, you know, and I can assure you, Chicago is never going to allow something to be that loose. But I am concerned as we had the law had went before the Supreme Court with the elderly man in Chicago. He should have his right to have his handgun. He's out there doing his yard, and you know he's having problems. You know, and he should be able to carry his weapon in his backyard, especially if he's been, you know, robbed before at least twice, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, to protect himself. But if it's ever a situation, I tell everybody, you call the police first. And I understand, Tony, you know, when she says people are passionate, and I do wish, is just somewhere, and I'm being honest with everyone, somewhere, and Carl maybe could say it too, somewhere after if you went to the academy before 19 or the year 2000, somewhere in between, it's a different breed of cops out here on the streets. I just don't understand them. Yeah, it's a different breed. And I'm being honest with the public. If you were in there before 2000, it's like a brotherhood. I mean, if Carl was, you know, if he said, hey, man, this guy was driving crazy, you know, I mean, you can tell he'd been around for a while. After 2000, some of these guys are walking with their chest out, and I tell them, look, man, you keep walking like that, I promise you won't make 5 years. Yeah. And I've seen it happen.
Wow.
It's like what Tony said. Tony said it does take a special kind of person to be a good officer. I'm going to put it like that. It takes you see the ones that fall into those pitfalls of just getting caught up in the trick bags. Those guys, they don't have it. They just don't have it. It is what it is. You have guys out there who just don't have it. But your guys, you know who the well-respected ones who know their job, know the ins and outs of their job. That's that special guy, you know. And it's more special guys out there than not. But you do have those guys that walk around and they've gotten their badge and they drink their cup of courage that morning and they're ready to roll.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That you know, you find that you find that in the military a lot as well. And I can definitely say, especially among the Marines, you graduate boot camp and you think because you have the title of Marine, all of a sudden that makes you invincible. And you walking around with your chest puffed out, and hey man, anybody can get taken down, and if you don't walk with a dose of humility, man, anything is liable to happen to you. Respect is the key, and for a lot of the problems that's happening in the city, I think a lot of that respect would go a long way. I want to ask you guys both a question, since you deal with a lot of people from Chicago with our new mayor in there, and the police shootings seeming to be on the uptick. Do you guys feel that maybe there's a new attitude that's being installed in the city along with the new mayor?
I would give you my opinion every time we had a new, when you have a new chief. If you, and this is not to speak against McCarthy, because we all done seen him on Brick City, but I want everyone to connect with what I'm about to say. If you noticed on Brick City, that's all they had was shootings. And I mean, and on his whole focus, he shifted the whole department with police strategies to try to stop the shootings. Now, he put a lot of people on the street that should have been behind the desk. What his motive of that, I don't know. But I can tell you, there are sometimes when there's a change at the top, and I've spoken maybe to a couple Chicago cops who has said that, you know what, things has changed, and he believes that the New York way is the right way. You're going to have problems. And I believe at this point, Chicago, if I was Mayor Emanuel, I would pick someone who is from my own breed, my own Chicago cop, who knows my own town, my own people, and start from there. Because you see it worked before, and ever since they switched, it made Chicago worse.
All right. And on that note, man, I want to thank you two gentlemen for coming in and being a guest on our show, man. Okay. You have given a whole lot of insight and a lot for a lot of people out there to think about. And I just want to say thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Anytime.
There's one last question that I would like to ask both of them really quick, and as quick as you guys can sum it up. Going forward with this incident, from a law enforcement standpoint, what can we as a people do going forward to be more proactive with situations like this?
With 2 minutes left, gentlemen.
To be more proactive?
You go first.
things that I would like to see is almost whereas if it ends up like Fort Heights. Let the federal government take over Sanford so that they can make an example of them so that we don't have this type of thing happen again.
Nice.
Show them that, hey, we're not playing when it comes to this cover-up mess, and take them all down for a second. Just make an example out of Sanford, Florida. That's the extreme that I want to take.
I like that answer. Theo?
I would say that everyone, just be involved with your community. I've seen time after time, even when as a youth officer, it's a shame that, you know, the fathers are not around. It makes me sick in the stomach, but, you know, it is time to try to guide or try to stay involved. As you can see, it shouldn't take this for people to speak up. It shouldn't be a white, black thing. It should be a community thing.
No doubt with what you just said. And I definitely I like both of the answers you two gave. And again, we definitely got to thank you two for coming on here and being a part of the Truth Brothers Radio Show. You helped tremendously. Thank y'all again, man.
Yeah. And again, man, I want to thank everybody for calling in. Thank everybody for filling up the chat room, man. The chat room is over there. Absolutely blowing up, man.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have to make this make the chat room a regular part of the thing when we make the jump to Monday.
Yeah, which we will be doing, ladies and gentlemen. Today is our last Saturday show. Our next show will be coming up on
Monday, April 2nd.
There you go.
7 p.m., ladies and gentlemen, Central Standard Time on Blog Talk. Same time, same place. So we look forward to seeing you there. But continue on with your Facebook comments. Facebook is 24/7. We'll be standing by for a while. Come on, drop your thoughts, because this is really serious. And I mean, you know, we need to be on one accord with this.
Yeah,
there you go. And I had seen in the chat room that someone found a tweet that Minister Farrakhan had said.
Yeah, I just caught that.
Yeah, Minister Farrakhan said that where there's no justice, there will be no peace. And retaliation could be a possibility. And when he says that, he's saying that violence begets violence, and he's not giving anybody a green light to do anything against the family's wishes. Again, if the family can exhibit discipline and control, and they lost their child, you definitely can do that.
That's right.
Yeah, no doubt. And
but again, they are playing with a tinderbox.
Yeah,
if
you shine bail this up, it might be something bad happening. That's all I'm gonna say. But real quick, we definitely have to say thank you to the opening song by Jasir X called Trayvon Martin, Paris and Gorilla Funk Records, Carl Menefee, Theo Brooks, Think Progress.
All right.
Also, we want to thank Toni Breedlove
too. Yeah, that's right.
For
thank her.
You know, for her support.
Yeah, she's really becoming
but
a part of the squad.
Most importantly, I want to extend my condolences to all the families, Trayvon Martin's family, Latanya Haggerty's family.
Yeah.
And the
autistic kid.
That's right. The brother and the sister that got
Bale.
Shot this week.
Yeah. I mean, this we want to extend this to
everyone,
any family who's in who suffered through injustice. And we just wanted to go ahead and say, you know, the True Brothers send their deepest condolences, and our prayers
are
with y'all.
Yes,
and this has been a great show. Thank you for everybody who called in, filled up the chat rooms, man. Thank you. We love you guys, and we're going to leave you like this. If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't in.
Peace.
Peace.